And this might be anecdotal too, but, and I think we had talked about this on a panel I was on last year. There are rules of the auction, and the auction says submit your marked up PSA by a certain date. In the last year or so, I've noticed that we'll always, because we may know the lawyers on the other side, have, and sometimes business people and financial advisors obviously know one another too. We've reached out in an auction process and said, hey, can we work through the agreement? Can we go ahead and give you comments on the agreement? Maybe you can turn them or discuss our comments with you ahead of the deadline. And you know, don't want to read too much into that, because sometimes they may be just trying to hedge their bets and they do have multiple parties interested, but it's kind of a good way of distinguishing yourself if you are a bidder. And it's one of those areas where if you don't ask, you'll never know, but it apparently, where you might have thought in the past it was taboo or you get shut down, that's something you can do. And that might also be indicative of some weakness in certain segments as well.
Well, but we're actually including in bid process letters, you know, get your comments in a week ahead. The concept is we want to have a fully negotiated purchase agreement by the time we get a final bid, so that there's nothing left except to sign the final bid. And again, with the right company that works, and with the wrong company, it's possible that we don't get even a markup back. Nevertheless, you know, forget about being a week before the bid deadline, we may just not get a markup back. We are seeing that, you know, what I'd say, the bifurcation between the haves and the have-nots a little more than we did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, I think there are going to be some target companies that, no matter what the market is, no matter what may else be, you know, maybe happening in the world, I mean, they're just going to fly off the shelves, right? People are going to say, I'll sign, you know, hand me the contract, let me put my name in where the blank is for the buyer, and I'll sign the, you know, sign it. But for the most part, I mean, whether or not the macroeconomic situation changes and thus prices move around, I think, you know, the catalyst for change, just to answer that question, will depend on what happens, right? And I think, just given what we're looking at, namely, you know, this trend towards, you know, very aggressive sales processes. I mean, even in the rep and warranty insurance context, I've heard of situations where sellers are refusing to sign the officer certificate that the rep and warranty insurance carrier requires, even though there's no recourse, say, for fraud. Or you've got some sellers saying, I don't want the fraud exception. You can't sue me even for fraud. And, you know, that's where we've gotten to. Now, it'll take is somebody actually to commit fraud, right? And, or for there, you know, to be some big scandal. And when that happens, then everyone's going to talk about the XYZ, you know, exception or whatever. And that'll be now part of the new paradigm. But until then, I mean, the rep and warranty insurance market's been really good. There have been, you know, at least based on everything you hear, relatively few claims and certainly no catastrophic ones. So it's going to take, regardless of what else is going on, I think it's going to take something like that in order to make rule change.
So in the rep and warranty space, then, do we anticipate there being any type of changes that could have a paradigm type impact on M&A deal structures?
I mean, the only thing I would say is I continue to be amazed at what, every time I look at a rep and warranty policy, what new thing I can get. So, like, you know, we were having two deals ago, I was working on something and somebody said, well, with respect to taxes, not only will the rep and warranty insurance cover the tax rep, but it will cover the tax covenant in large part, except for current year taxes that are reflected in a working capital adjustment. I was like, that seems like they're, you know, the insurers are going out a little bit further, you know, on the line. We've also found that there are virtually no seller risk deals now where there's a retention amount on the insurance policy, you know, that's as little as, you know, a little more than half a percentage point, and with the balance getting split by buyer and seller, or even all being borne by the buyer. So literally there are deals now where sellers can walk away. On the non-rep and warranty, as I indicated earlier, sellers are starting to say, we also, on covenants, want to cap our exposure. We want on reps that normally could conceivably exceed a rep and warranty insurance policy, like the capitalization rep, where if somebody sold you a company and they actually didn't own it, you should be able to get back 100% of your purchase price. They're even rolling that into the rep and warranty coverage in some cases. So I think you're really seeing, so I think to Paul's point, if there is some big fiasco, I think you could see the insurers start to feel like, yeah, we need to have a little more skin in the game by sellers, a little more skin in the game by buyers. We've gone a little too far. And they might up their standard for the due diligence review that they do on policy.
Ann mentioned it earlier, there's got to be some expected increase in the premiums, no?
Actually, it's actually gone down.
Well, if there are losses, I mean, there haven't been any big losses.
You're a litigator, so I always have this conversation with the litigator. As litigators in the firm, I'll always say that, you know, really, I would say in very few deals is there really ever a dispute on an indemnification claim. Most of the time we get to the end of the first year or the second year when we're supposed to make them, and we call the client and say, hey, reminder, you need to make your indemnification claims in the next 2 weeks before the first or second or third anniversary. And they go, well, let me get back to you, and they get back to you, and they say, yeah, we don't have any claims.